snap. Simmons obviously upset. Throws a little elbow. That would have been a flagrant.
Nothing's louder than Philly. I've never played anywhere as loud as this, so it's a lot of love.
Did that get you guys going a little bit too?
Always, always. We love coming home to play here. The fans are amazing, even when they boo.
Yeah! NBA Australia. How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Strayer. It is Friday, May 3rd. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA playoffs today. Breaking down, wrapping up after every single day of NBA action while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. It's what we do here. All right, only one Game 3 to cover off today between the Sixers and Raptors, but boy, howdy, is it a fun one. We had nut shots, trips, windmill dunks. It was awesome. So that'll all be covered with the usual dumbassery of that's not a knife, old mate, no mate, spud of the night, pantsing of the evening, and better than Lonzo Ball. Of course, we've always got, yeah, nah, we've always got the unpopular opinion of the day and Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take. We've also got a brand new Luke Longley All-Star role player who just did their bloody job Hall of Famer, plus a look at the odds and a pick and preview for every playoff game this weekend. That's right, it's our big weekend preview. And we're going to close out with a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Ah, it's going to be awesome. At least I hope it is. I really, really hope it is. All right, let's get into it. It's NBA Strayer episode 278. Let's go.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Strayer.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wow, you better. We've got to watch out for the attack of Ben Simmons' elbow if you're Kyle Lowry's nuts. Holy shit. Just swinging those errant elbows around his old Box Hill Benny. You don't want to get in the way of that, especially if you're a pair of cojones. Jesus, it looked like it hurt. Anyway, we're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around. That's right, Adrian Wojnarowski reckons that Ty Lue is on track to be the Lakers coach. It's basically done. It's in the bag. Lakers are sitting there going, all right, we're just going to do it. And Woj is out there today saying, yeah, basically she's done. Same goes for Monty Williams to Phoenix. Barring something weird in Monty Williams going, oh, yeah. I've gotten some advice about Robert Sarver being a fuckwit. I don't really want to work for him. So that's interesting to see how it goes. Other news, Danny Ainge, Boston Celtics president of basketball operations and all-around, trader Danny, taker advantage of Billy King's, etc., had a fucking heart attack in Milwaukee. I heard it's Algonquin for the good land. Well, it's not the good land if you're Danny Ainge. Jesus, but anyway, it turns out he's okay because it was a mild heart attack. Is that the same as a mild concussion? Jesus. Anyway, great stuff. On your Danny Ainge, happy that he's okay, because that is fucking terrifying. I mean, Jesus Christ, mate. Anyway, Danny Ainge, happy for you, mate. Pull through. Be strong. Best of luck to his family. Yeah. Handy. Anyway, nice. What else we got out there? We had, D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo! He was sighted at an airport, LaGuardia, over there in just over there in Queens. Nice one. After police found marijuana. Mary Jane. Hidden in a container that was made to look like an Arizona iced tea can. Which is hilarious because, look, what's worse for you? Weed or Arizona iced tea? Jesus. Anyway, D'Angelo.
Stay off the weed.
Yeah, that's right, D'Angelo. Anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later. And also, there was the kerfuffle. We mentioned this yesterday on yesterday's show about Enes the Penis Kanter, bringing to light the fact that the Turkish NBA outlet had completely omitted him from their highlights and, like, you know, giving any props to him and his performance in the game yesterday. And he tweeted that all out. And NBA Deputy Commissioner Mark Tatum said today, fans in Turkey can watch all playoff games featuring Enes Kanter and the Portland Trailblazers as an NBA League Pass and NBA TV International. The NBA Turkey Twitter account was managed by a local vendor, and we are terminating that relationship. Woo! So, yeah. The NBA dude in Turkey got shit canned. Nice one. Enes the Penis Kanter then tweeted back out, I can't thank NBA enough for making the right move by terminating their local Turkish PR person who censored me during playoffs on the NBA Turkey account. Thank you, NBA and NBA PA, for standing up on human rights, democracy, and stand against the dictatorship. Hashtag dictator Erdogan. Jesus! Some absolute like roller coaster going on in the old Enes the Penis Kanter world, isn't it? It's crazy. Good job by the NBA, though, you know, for standing up for him. Some injury news. The Bucks have already confirmed that there will be no Malcolm Brogdon, El Presidente. Malcolm Brogdon for Game 3 of Bucks Celtics tomorrow. Handy for the old Celts, you'd say. But still, I don't know. He was already ruled out for the first two games. It's not a giant surprise that he's not ready to go for Game 3. All right, let's get into the wrap of today's game. And it was an absolute ball burster. As mentioned, it was the old 2-3. Matchup in the East semis, Toronto visiting Philadelphia for Game 3 in Philly. Absolutely smoking, 116-95. And like going into this series, we had the big questions for each side. It was like Big Simo shaking Kawhi. And he's doing it, like, you know, had a million turnovers during the season against Kawhi. He's been all right. So, and he was all right tonight, two of them. And the Raps, well, they bottle it. And it turns out they are continuing to bottle it. Jesus. Because they're key blokes of the series, Embiid and his knee. He was very good today. We'll talk about that in a second. Jimmy Butts and his reputation, obviously a key bloke, stepping up very handily in the last two games. So that was bang on. And Lowry, oh, that is a key bloke for Toronto, because when he's not playing very well, they're getting their asses kicked. Obviously, Simo and Kawhi is a big one of that, because that's another matchup to keep an eye on. And Embiid versus Gasol/Ibaka. I think you can handily say that Embiid has had the best of the two of them the last two games. So, yeah, that's why Philly are up 2-1. So, let's wrap up Game 3. This was great, wasn't it? Went hammer and tongs early on, going back and forth. It was very, very fun, this game. It was on, like Kong. What was it, the first quarter? It was, like, pretty wild. But it was 32-29 to the Sixers. And you're like, all right, this is a fun game, man. Kawhi got the wraps within six in the second quarter as well. He sort of looked like he was going to get going. But then Philly, just out of nowhere, just went bang. A couple of big buckets from Embiid, a big three from Redick, then a huge three from Jimmy Butts to get them up 14. And it very quickly turned into this like, holy shit. Philly just busted open a little bit. 64-53 at the half. Sixers had shot 8 of 14 from three. Jesus, Embiid had 18, and they had four starters in double figures, did the Sixers. Pretty handy. Kawhi was the only one doing much for the Raps. They were held to 44% shooting, and he had 17 at the half. Lowry and Gasol had stunk up the place. But anyway, the Raps woke up a little bit at the start of the third, got it down to 8 after Kawhi was running around doing some stuff. He had a very, very nice three and a, was it a three? I think it was. Yeah, he hit a three. Yeah, there was a nice, so he hit a three, hit a nice little sort of turnaround step back Jimbo as well. Looking pretty good. Cruising along. Got it back down to 8. And then, I don't know, Kawhi, he had 31 in three quarters, single-handedly keeping the Rockets in it. But then Simo and Embiid double-teamed him at the end of the third quarter. He turned it over after Pascal Siakam tried to trip Joel Embiid. And this is after Big Simo Ben Simmons had already elbowed Kyle Lowry in the nuts, which is pretty funny. Because, I mean, big booty Kyle Lowry. You think that big booty get in the road? Nope. Got big old nuts on him as well, apparently. but yeah, so after Siakam tried to trip Embiid, they basically had him. Kawhi didn't score for the first 6 minutes of fourth quarter. And the Sixers, they scored 11 straight to start the fourth quarter, and that was it. It was it. That was done. They had a 21-3 run in the fourth quarter. Just busted the game wide open. The Raptors shot 5 of 24 in the fourth quarter, and that was all she wrote. The Sixers fans were going ape shit. Joel Embiid had a windmill dunk, which was absolutely amazing. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But anyway, wrapping up for the Raptors, they shot a brutal 7 of 27 from 3. Oh, Jesus. They got out-rebounded 53-36 in Game 1. That happened again 45-35 today in Game 2. Sorry, game three. Yeah, game two and game three. There you go. Out rebounded them both. Kawhi. Yeah, 33 points, 13 and 22. It's pretty good, you'd say. Yeah, but he had 31 after three quarters, and then the Sixers just gave him the old clamps. Kawhi didn't score, and he only scored two more points the rest of the way, and the game was already over. So tough time to be sitting down there, Kawhi, but oh well. 13 to 22, as mentioned, he shot 2 of 4 from downtown, only 4 rebounds and 3 assists. Just not much going on elsewhere for the Raps. Siakam Siakam, he was the only one who did much for the Raps. 20 points for him, 15 shots, 0 of 3 from downtown though. So he and Leonard combined to go 2 of 7, which is not great when Marc Gasol and Big Booty Kyle Lowry, well, they combined to go a horrible 4 of 16 between the two of them. And I believe an even gross, or 0 of 5 from 3. Jesus, for 14 points between the two of them. Ugh. So 7 points for Kyle Lowry. He had 5 rebounds, 5 assists as well. And Coach Killer Marc Gasol, 7 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals and 2 blocks in only 29 minutes. He was a minus 26. Big Booty Kyle Lowry was a minus 28. Jesus. Kawhi was only a minus 11. Bananas, mate. Danny, not the box of green, had 13 on 5 of 9 shooting. He had a rough one in game 2. Bounced back pretty handily here, but missed a... they were down 16 at one point. He missed a 3, and that was pretty... This was like in the third quarter, I believe. And you're like, oh, yeah, it was game over. Oh, no, it was the start of the fourth quarter. Danny, not the box of green, goes up for the 3, misses it. Really nice look, just clanks it. And you're like, ah, oh, yeah, that's game. 16... points still. Shit. Oh, there you go. The bench was particularly horrible for the Raps today. 15 points total. A lot of that was in garbage time, thanks to Norm Powell hitting a 3 at the buzzer, etc. He had 6 points. Fred VanVleet of the Fightin' Van Vleets. Oh, he has been absolute Barry Crocker shock of this series. He had, he had 1 point, which is on a free throw. 4 rebounds and 2 steals. Serge Ibaka was horrible again. He's having a horrible series too. He had 4 points, 5 rebounds, and Jody Meeks got in there, had 4 points late, but wow. Just a shocking turn from the, but the Raptors are just so deep, man. Well, they're not deep when Serge Ibaka, Fred VanVleet, and Norm Powell are playing like shit. Those three combined to shoot 4 of 18. Ugh. God damn, man. God damn. All right, on the flip side, the Sixers. The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6ers. Shot 51.2%. That's crazy. 10 of 23 from 3. It's also the highest shooting percentage the Raptors have given up all postseason. Before then, it was 42%. They basically topped it by 10% shooting. So good job, Sixers, today. Embiid, as mentioned, was amazing. 33 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, and 5 blocks. Just out there smashing everything in his path. A plus 31 for the game. 9 of 18 from the field. 3 of 4 from downtown as well. Absolutely unreal. And Jimmy Butts was also magnificent again too. After a very good game too, where he had 13-11. He had 22 points, 9 rebounds and 9 assists. Almost gets to the triple-double. Has 3 steals and a block as well. Big Simo Ben Simmons was steady. He had 10 points, 7 and 7. Pretty good. Tobias Harris, he had 13-8 and 5 as well himself. Pretty good. And JJ Redick just chucked in 15. 5 of 9 from the floor, 3 of 6 from 3. There's a pretty crucial part where basically towards the end of the second quarter, as mentioned, when they sort of got going and headed into the half up a little bit handily. And you're like, all right, cool. Well, the Sixers, man, they might be cruising along here, eh? What do you reckon? It was like thanks to basically when Pascal Siakam tried to trip Embiid. There was a tech foul. Yeah, what was it? It was... Danny Green got a tech for a delay of game when Jimmy Butts was trying to inbound the ball. So Redick hits the free throw. Then he hits a mid-range jump shot and then hits a 3. And suddenly they've just gotten 6 points out of nowhere. And you're like, oh, shit. So the Sixers went in there up 11 all of a sudden. You're like, yep, that'll do it. So good game for JJ. From the bench, James Ennis was amazing as well. He had 13 in game 2. He had 10 points today as well, 4 of 6 from the field. He's been a very big pickup after, you know, him not working yet in Houston and just like everyone going, yep, see you on your bike, James. See ya. And he's like, all right, cool. And Philly like, yeah, we'll take him. Sick. He had 5 rebounds and assists. Just was very, very, very handy. Just very active. Moose Monroe, he had 4 points and 3 rebounds. Had a very embarrassing fluff layup after a very, very tough steal too. And Mike Scott, the regional manager, he's back with that amazing do-rag. That looked great. He played 14 minutes, went 1-1 from downtown, 2 or 3 from the floor overall for 5 points. And Boban, Amir, TJ, Jonathan Simmons, and our man, son of Bruce, Jonah Bolton, all got out there for some garbage time in the last 5 minutes of the game, because that's how much the Sixers smoked them at the start of the fourth quarter, that it was over with 5 minutes to go. Absolutely crazy. So that drops Kawhi Leonard versus the Sixers to 14-2 overall in his career, and the Sixers now lead their series 2-1. What a fun game. Embiid's just, oh, we're going to talk about him in a second, so let's just do it. NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's a knife.
Joel hands Embiid. Holy shit, this was a goddamn show he put on, wasn't it? As mentioned, 33-10-3 with 5 blocks, a plus 31, but 9 of 18 from the field, 3 of 4 from downtown, including one earlier that sort of got him going, had his confidence up. But there was a couple of like weird little, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon-esque lean back jumpers out of the post that he absolutely swish bombed, that you're like, holy shit, he's on one, and he was on one. 33-10-3 with 5 blocks. And also, honorable mention goes to Jimmy Butts. He was magnificent again. Almost that triple-double, 22-9-9, 3 steals and a block. And also, was very handy at times as the old Jimmy Butts. He's like, ah, what are we doing? So, I better hit a big 3, and that'll sort of really decimate the Raptors going into the half. I'll do that now. Pretty bloody good. He was a plus 28 as well. So, they're actually the two leadings for the plus-minus. So, it works out that they're the NBA Australia-approved performances of the night. On your Joel Embiid, his windmill dunk was absolutely wild. Dudes that big shouldn't be able to like fucking windmill dunk because they're just too big. And he did it in the middle of a game. He just went straight down the goddamn, right down the lane, hammered it home, did the airplane, you know, the Jet Terry fucking fly off. That was amazing. Great job, Joel Embiid. What about old mate, no mates though?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Well, it's actually Kawhi Leonard and Siakam Siakam, Pascal Siakam Siakam, because they're the only dudes doing bloody anything for Toronto at the moment, because that leads us very, very nicely into Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night.
That's right. Spud of the Night goes to Kyle Lowry, big booty Kyle Lowry, and Mark the Coach Killer Gasol, as well as basically the rest of the goddamn Raptors. Fred VanVleet of the Fightin' Van Vleets. He's 0 of 7 today. He's 0 of 10 for the series. He went 0 of 2 in Game 2, 0 of 1 in Game 1. He's 0 of 7 from downtown. Absolutely wild. He shot horribly in the first round too, 13-34, 5 of 19 from 3. This is a dude where you're like, shit, he could be a starter on a good team. No, maybe not. Bo Jesus. Rough one for Fred VanVleet of the Fightin' Van Vleets. But how about Big Booty Kyle Lowry and Marc Gasol absolutely spotting up the joint when Kawhi is kind of out there doing stuff. There he goes. Thanks, Kawhi. He and Siakam Siakam are pretty much doing everything themselves. 53 points between the two of them. 14 points between Kyle Lowry and Mark, the Coach Killer Gasol. And Serge Ibaka is our final spot of the night. Basically, it's the rest of the Raptors not named Leonard or Siakam. And Danny Green was all right today. But Serge Ibaka, 2 of 6 tonight. 4 of 6 for the 4 points, 6 rebounds. 13 points for the entire series. Serge Ibaka, you're being paid $23 million next year. You've had 13 points across this entire series. He shot 6 of 20 from the field, and he's 0 of 3 from downtown. He's shooting 28%. He's averaging 4 points and 4 rebounds. Absolutely wild scene. So the rest of the Raptors, you're basically all combined, Spuds of the Knights, because Kawhi and Siakam Siakam got no mates. Rough. Pantsick of the night. This one's an easy one. Moose Monroe missed a layup with his offhand and nearly wedged it. He missed it that badly. He was point blank. He's got the ball. He's open. He's like, all right, cool. I just need to lay it up. Nope. It was a very embarrassing miss by Moose Monroe. Jimmy Butler was even giving him shit after the game about it. And Moose Monroe, look, doing pretty bloody good out there for the Sixers out of nowhere. But that was a pantsing and a half. It's like the old, you're trying to chat to like a girl that you like at school and someone's just run past and dacked you and you're just like, oh, fuck. Well, that one's done and dusted. Tough. What about better than Lonzo Ball for today, though?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're gonna get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody, as long as everybody is like, you know, my former best friend, if I'm LeVar Ball, because he's stolen, you know, $2 million from his son. But anyway, better than Lonzo Ball for today is Jonah Bolden. That's right, son of Bruce. But James, he didn't score in this game. That's right. He only had one assist in his 5 minutes as well. Yes, that is correct. Jonah Bolden barely troubled the scorers. 5 minutes, 0 points, one assist. But to be fair, the last thing Lonzo Ball assisted on was getting his dad a beer between listening to him yell at LaMelo and about how the Ball family never lost before trying to find that $2 million his best mate stole from Lonzo. So, yeah, pretty rough one down there at Calabasas right now. Lonzo. Must be balling season because you're hanging out scratching your balls on the couch.
It's balling season!
Damn straight. All right, let's go to Yanaz right after these.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Yeah, nah. How good are Fridays? Feeling pretty good about this. We take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one. Should the Lakers just hurry the fuck up and hire Ty Lue and stop being silly and just, you know, pretending like they want to hire Jason Kidd? Yeah, nah. Yes. Fuck it. I mean, you've got 3 more years of LeBron. And even though he reckons he's staying out of it, which is bullshit, just make LeBron happy. Hire Ty Lue and go from there, right? Like, what's the point of firing someone that LeBron doesn't like, Luke Walton, and then hiring someone that he's just going to treat, that he doesn't know, that he doesn't respect, that he might just treat like Luke Walton again? Like, icy disdain mixed with happy undermining in the media. So just hire fucking Ty Lue. LeBron is, like, clearly going to sign off on that. He's going to be fine with it. So just do it, Lakers. He's a former Laker himself. I mean, we're going to get a million goddamn, like, LeBron stepping over Ty Lue memes, but still, just hire the guy. What, you're going to hire Jason Kidd, and then once LeBron realizes he's fucking moron, like, 3 months into this thing, he's going to be, like, undermining him in the media again. Just hire Ty Lue. Just do the damn thing. Jesus. Number two, Danny Ainge surviving a mild heart attack is awesome. But don't you think it's kind of weird that more front office execs sort of don't go through this sort of stuff? I mean, yeah, nah, yeah. I think it's kind of crazy that more front office execs don't have more sort of health problems that happen like this. So, and it was like, I think Kenny Smith brought it up that we need to be looking after ex-players a little bit better. And, you know, sort of, I kind of reckon he's right. So it's great that the front office guys don't have these kind of health scares more often. Let's try to keep it like that. Jeez. Yeah. Nice one. Anyway, so the Boston Celtics actually tweeted out, he suffered a mild heart attack in Milwaukee on Tuesday night. Which would have been Wednesday our time. He received immediate medical attention, is expected to make a full recovery. He will return to Boston shortly. Nice. That's just good. Absolutely crazy, though. Absolutely crazy. Sending him all the best wishes out there. On you, Danny. Next up, should D'Angelo Russell and his weed citation be any sort of problem in his restricted free agency? Yeah, nah, no, fuck no. It's basically bloody legalized in most of the states in America anyway. It's basically decriminalized in New York City as well, which is why it's only a citation. So a big deal about nothing, if you ask me. Next up, can the Raps get back into this series against the Sixers? Oh, yeah, nah. Yeah, maybe. I mean, they dominated game one, don't forget. So, I mean, they've just had a bunch of no-shows in game two and game three. And unfortunately, the Sixers have got a bit of wind behind them. We sort of saw that in the first round last year, that when they got a little bit of wind, in their favor against Miami, they sort of just pushed and kicked and realized that they were bigger, longer, and stronger than the Heat and smoked them from there on in. So, I don't know, Raps, you're dicing with a bit of the El Devil there. And speaking of which, do I regret, after game one, jumping to the conclusion saying, wow, the Raps could probably easily come out of the East? Yeah, nah, yeah. I always had faith in the Sixers. I picked them in six. I stuck with it after game one. Feeling pretty good about it right now, too. Anyway, finally, did Ben Simmons try to wang Kyle Lowry in the nuts? I mean, Yeah, nah, because that leads us to the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me, look at me. I reckon Simo was just trying to make sure Lowry got off him, and he didn't actually mean to whack him in the nards. Like, come on. Seriously, watch it again. He hits the ground. He sort of swings his elbow up to make sure that Lowry doesn't fall on him. It just sort of happens that Lowry's bow-legged and he's got his big old nuts hanging out right there where that elbow's coming. So I think it's just a bad bit of positioning on both Simo and Lowry's behalf. And I don't really think Simo was out there trying to, you know, elbow him in the old fella. So I feel like Simo didn't really mean to do it. That seems like it's an unpopular opinion today, because everyone's like, oh, it's a dog act. Oh, it's a dog act. You're trying to get him in the nuts. What is he, Draymond Green? It's like, no, I think it was kind of a mistake. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it. All right. It's Friday at Outback Takehouse, and you know what that means. 4-for-1 ice cold oil drum can Fosters. That's right. Full of icy cold Fosters, those giant oil drum cans full of it. 4-for-1 at Outback Takehouse. Because no bastard back in Australia drinks this cat's piss. So we foist it onto you Yanks and say that it's Aussie for beer. And you fucking idiots lap it up. Only at Outback. And today's flame grill take, washed down with 4-for-1 icy cold Fosters, is Joel Embiid is already the best big man in the NBA since Shaq. Only at Outback. Australian Player Watch, after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Australian Player Watch. What did you reckon about that Joel Embiid hot take? Flame grill take. He's more fun to watch than Dwight Howard ever fucking was, I'll tell you that much. So give me some Joel. I love this shit. Anyway, the Australian Player Watch, let's do it. Big Simo, Ben Simmons in game 3 today, as mentioned. 10 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, was very good. Again on Kawhi, he shot 5 of 13, did Big Simo. There's a couple of misses around the rim that were a bit like, eh. He only had one turnover in this game as well. I said 2 earlier. I realized it was 1 after I said it and didn't correct myself because I'm a moron. But he was very good today, 10-7-7, very much in control, some really very nice passes. And son of Bruce, Jonah Bolden, as mentioned, 5 minutes, 1 assist, 1 turnover, and 1 foul. Didn't hoist a shot up or anything in garbage time. You know, just sort of ran around, just made sure he was all good. Good job. Good win by the Sixers and the Australians. Aaron Bangers-Baines has Milwaukee. Who's Algonquin for the good land tomorrow. And Andrew Bogut plays Houston on Sunday in a massive, massive game. So the Luke Longley Memorial Role Players who just did their bloody job Hall of Fame. Let's do that for today. It's Friday. It's what we do. And today's Luke Longley Memorial Role Player who just did their bloody job Hall of Famer is Alonzo Mourning. What? But James, he was a superstar. Yes. Yes, he was, mate. But not in 2006. When he finally won a title with the Heat, that's for sure. That's right. Obviously, he was a dominant force in the 90s with the Charlotte Hornets. 21-10 as a rookie. He was absolutely remarkable. 23 points, 10 rebounds, 2.5 blocks in his first Heat year as well. After he forced his way there in 96 after wanting to punch on with Larry Johnson left, right, and center. Ended up being a two-time Defensive Player of the Year. Was absolutely remarkably good when he could stay on the court. That was the problem. He was injured off and on for the late 90s. Hamstrung the old Heat's run a couple of times with Tim Hardaway. And was eventually diagnosed with kidney disease and missed an entire year, basically. Then he got a kidney transplant and he came back. He's like, that's awesome. On you, Alonzo. Good job, mate. He signed a 4-year deal with New Jersey, the old Nets. Played a total of 30 games with them. And was traded to Toronto for Vince Carter in 04. And he just decided to go, fuck yes, I'm not going to Toronto. And he didn't report. Ended up being traded back to Miami for the 04-05 season. And was like, you know what? I kind of like it back down here. This is great. And then Miami like, oh, guess what we just did? And he's like, what? And they're like, traded for Shaq. And he's like, ah, fuck. All right. But anyway, by this point in his career, it was sort of, you know, it was obviously on the downside. But he was fine coming off the bench behind Shaq, which was weird because he was the number one pick in 92. And
Zoe was number two in 92. So they obviously went on to win a title with D-Wade, but at the same time, Lonzo knew his role pretty perfectly, right? Come off the bench, be a defensive menace, score buckets when needed, and just rebound like a madman, right? So in the finals that year against the Mavs, he only averaged 4 points and three rebounds in 11 minutes. But in those 11 minutes, he still had 1.5 blocks per game. Holy shit. While shooting basically 70% from the field. Absolutely crazy. But, this is the idea of the Luke Longley Role Player Hall of Fame. He just did their bloody job because Zoe, when needed, started for Shaq a bunch of times that season. He started 20 games, was out there, averaging basically 11 and 11. You know, that's what he's doing. And 4 blocks a game when he started. So he could still bring it when needed. And then when Shaq was, healthy and whatnot and back in the playoffs, Zoe's like, all right, cool. Just come off the bench and kick some ass and take some names. So there you go. An absolute rip snorter of a Luke Longley Memorial Role Player who just did their bloody job. Hall of Fame for today, Alonzo Mourning. You absolute dead set legend. I loved Alonzo Mourning as a kid. Love him now. Also gave us a great gift. So great job, Alonzo Mourning. All right, what about the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in? Oh, let's do it. Well, today it's not a Twitter check-in. It's a Patty Mills Instagram check-in because Baller Pat has Instagrammed out a picture of himself in a very interesting jacket with the caption, Natty Dread Rides Again. Fist emoji at Kristen Ingersoll and Asif Agnot, Donna Famuso, Dirkstra, and Jack Studios. Either way, Patty, you're looking great, mate. That's inspiring as hell. You're an absolute legend. Looking good, man. That's a great-looking jacket. Great job, Patty. Follow him on Instagram. He's inspiring as hell and has fit for fucking days. All right, let's do it. Game previews for the entire weekend for coming up this weekend. Let's do it.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. What are the plans for the weekend?
Oh, I don't know. Not much, man. Watching some basketball, hanging out. Playing with the squid. Got a big old bont on him. It's pretty cool. But anyway. All right, let's do it. Game previews for the weekend. Let's have a look at the odds as well. And bring them up. We smashed the picks yesterday, didn't we? What do we have? We had the Sixers +1.5, I think we had them. Oh, +1. And yeah, we jumped on that and absolutely smoked it. So pretty good. All right, so tomorrow we've got the Milwaukee. Here it's Algonquin for the Goodland Bucks at Boston for game 3. And wildly enough, the Celtics are 2-point favorites at home. That is awesome. Good job, Boston. Can they win at home? Can they limit Giannis? It's a very, very good question. I'm going to go with the Bucks +2. I think this one's going to be very, very close. I think the Bucks win it. The Celtics obviously won one in a very similar fashion to the Sixers today, where you want to go up 2-1 after you get that road split or else it's for nothing. But I've got a feeling the Bucks will just go, oh shit, we're actually really good. Just a heads up and we're going to smoke you. And so getting 2 points for the Bucks, I'm going to take that in a heartbeat. And the other game tomorrow is Denver at Portland game 3. It's going to be interesting to see if Portland keep up that momentum from game 2, where they muddied it up, played like shit and somehow won because Denver were horrible. I've got a feeling Dame has a big game tomorrow at home. They're 4-point favorites at home of the Blazers, and I think I'll take that. I think they win by about 5 or 6 at home. Yeah, like the Blazers in this one. Then on Sunday, we have the Golden State Warriors at Houston Rockets for game 3. Jesus, how important is this game? This is the only series that's 2-0. Remember, all other of the series were at 1-1 until Sixers got up 2-1 today. So this is going to be fun as hell. Golden State at Houston. First time they go to Houston. Houston are 3.5-point favorites at home. And I think I'm going to take the Warriors +3.5. I think Houston win this, but it's only by 2, and it's an amazing game. Yeah. So I think the Rockets win, but the Warriors cover +3.5. Yeah, it's going to be very close when I'm predicting. I've always thought, this entire series would be very close. And Houston, I reckon, in their first game at home, will have it very, very close indeed. Nice one. And then finally on Monday, we'll be wrapping up these two games on Monday's show. We've got Raptors at Sixers, I believe, game 4. That's right. Sixers are 1-point underdogs. Oh, geez. Fuck, I'm going to jump on that right now. +1 for the Sixers on Monday. Kidding me. Give me that in a heartbeat. Can the Sixers keep home court going, go up 3-1? I'd bet yes, and they come out and absolutely smoke the Raptors. So I'm going to take the Sixers +1. Shit, yeah. They've got all the momentum. You want to keep that at home. Place is going to be fucking jumping. You could see actually a bit of a letdown from the Sixers, but I don't know. The way they played today just looked really good. Really figured out like their pick and roll coverages against like Kawhi and Siakam with Gasol out there. And on the other end, Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butts just looked very nice and threatening, didn't they? So give me the Sixers plus one, that one. And there are no odds, obviously, for Denver-Portland Game 4 because we haven't seen Game 3. So we will wait to see how Game 3 washes out. But I will predict, I reckon we split both of those. So I reckon Denver gets that one in Portland. So I think Portland wins Game 3. They go up 2-1, but then drop Game 4 against Denver on the second game of their homestand. Nice. There you go. I've got Milwaukee plus 2. The Blazers minus 4, Warriors plus 3.5, even though I think they lose, they cover, and the Sixers plus 1, and then I've got Denver winning outright on Monday. Nice. Holy shit. How's that going to be? Ah, can't wait. What an awesome weekend of basketball it's going to be. So we're back on Monday, wrapping up all of those games. We'll be wrapping up every single one. It's what we do. Make sure you're following NBA Stray on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're all over the socials, even on the weekends. You know that. Get around NBAStray.com. If you're going to go buy some shit from Amazon, go to NBAStray.com first. Click on the giant fucking Amazon button on the right-hand side and then go do all your shopping. And they kick us a couple of shekels on the back end. It helps us out. Come on. Come on, man. We're doing this for free daily. Help us out, would ya? All right. And also chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever Android app you use to listen to podcasts. If there's a rating system, smash us 5 stars or I'll bash ya. Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, all that shit. Make sure you're following us on like multiple like things. It really helps. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band though, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. It's an absolute ball terror. Love that record. I just got a t-shirt and the vinyl for my little brother. So get around it. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on their Bandcamp and their Facey and all that sort of shit. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. Cool. All right, we're going to finish off today's show with a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. And we will catch you on Monday. Have a great weekend, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying later. All right, welcome to the show. This is Andrew Bogut, and this is Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Because look, all this latte drinking in the city, left wing, SJW snowflakes everywhere, are just out there ruining everything for everyone. Like, someone has to be out there actually telling them like it is, mate. And that's just what I do, mate. I talk about the betting commercials, I talk about Jordan B. Peterson, my favorite author. I retweet a lot of my favorite people from the Herald Sun and shit. It's really good. So if you don't like my opinions, you can just not follow me and go get stuff, babe. Okay, nice one. So with that out of the road, let's get to the show. Let's get to the Twitter internet and slams on Twitter snowflakes. All right, what do we have here for this week? Oh, how good was this one? Did you see this? Joe Ingles, my friend, he tweeted out Melbourne prayer hands emoji and Australia flag emoji. Oh, nice one, Jingler. Almost home, Joe Ingles. They need to get that direct LA to Adelaide going. Oh, nice one. That's just me ribbing Joe because he's from Melbourne, mate, but everyone thinks he's from Adelaide. It's funny as hell, mate. Oh, how good is Jack Riewoldt as well? He tweeted back to Tom from Channel 7 saying, Tom, it couldn't have been true. You posted your so-called information from a source at midday today. I didn't have a scan until 3:30 p.m. You've either got the ability to time travel or you guessed. Oh, you got him, Jackie boy. That's awesome. So good. Sweating emoji. Oh my God, that's great. Okay, so we beat the Clippers as well this week. That was pretty good. So I better tweet out something about that and how nice they were. Great win. Tough, gritty playoff series. Clippers did a great job keeping us on our toes. Quick turnaround Sunday versus Houston, though. Hashtag Dub Nation. Nice one. Oh, that's some pretty good stuff. Good one, Bogey. You know, I gave some props out to the Clippers and also got ready for Sunday. All right, let's do it. Oh, I better talk about this again then. Quick turnaround, game one win. Crowd was awesome. Well done, Warriors fans. Yeah, that game one was sick, mate. Oh, I was also on Jim Rome's show. Did you know that? Jim Rome, he is just such a good dude, mate. I love Jim Rome. He's very interesting, so this is going to be funny. He tweeted out, hashtag legend. Oh, that's very nice of him to say. Thanks for having me on, at Jim Rome. Oh, nice one, mate. Nice one. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Oh, did you see Titania McGrath? My favorite thing on the internet Twitters is she said, I can totally relate to this melody. My pregnant friend has just realized that her unborn child is kicking Morse code. This morning, she tapped out this message. Believe women. Oh, it's in response to this thing that Melody tweeted out. Overheard this evening. 4-year-old. Why do girls' clothes mostly have buttons on the back, but boys' clothes have them on the front? Dad. I'm not sure. 4-year-old. Probably the patriarchy. And Titania has totally smashed him. That's some funny shit. I better retweet that one right now. Retweeting, very funny stuff. Probably my favorite internet Twitter, I think. Oh, speaking of patriarchy, I took this photo down the local park. How will we smash the patriarchy with songs like this at a local park? It has men's volleyball for the stick above it and a women's volleyball for like a thing that hook below it. I don't know, mate. You need to be able to smash the patriarchy by having the women's on the top. Okay, so Triple M Footy, they tweeted out, it all revolves around mobile phone use. We have revealed the secret weapon behind Port Adelaide's good form. Interesting discussion. Interesting discussion. Yeah, it's a pretty good article, that one. Okay, so what else we got? Oh, Victor Social. These guys have been fucking stringing me along for so long, mate. It is some bullshit. I tweeted out a bunch of, like, about ages ago, like back in 2018, mate, 25th of September. Hi, Victor Social. How much do you value honesty? Do you guys remember when I was reading that one out? I did it on this show. And so I'm going to retweet this and say some more. Out of 10? Question mark. Feel free to email me if more private. Oh, my God. This dude's the fucking worst, mate. Oh, and the owner of the Sydney Kings, he tweeted out, thanks to the Warriors for the opportunity to attend training today and Steve Kerr and the coaching staff have been so generous with your time and insights. Sydney Kings, Coach Will Weaver and Chris Pion-Grass truly appreciated it. And great to see Andrew Bogut at work. Oh, that's pretty good. I better retweet my boss. Nice one. Oh, I also better retweet my latest column for Yahoo Sports Australia. Andrew Bogut writes for Yahoo Sports AU about the refereeing controversy in Game 1 and Clyde Thompson's tough side. Hashtag Dub Nation. That's a good one. I really like my column, that one. Nice one. What else we got? Oh, this is my favorite one. Paul Smith, my boss again. He said, hey, at Telstra, call Larry Kesselman at the NBL for a controversy-free ride on a rising tide after Telstra threatened to tear up their $15 million NRL contract over player behavior. Oh, that's a very good point. Yes, at Telstra. Hashtag no brainer. Hashtag at NBL. Oh, nice one. This is pretty great. All right, so that's all we've got time for this week. Not too many of the Twitter nufties, which is pretty good. It's nice to be back in the NBA. Let's go for game 3 this week. And I've been Andrew Bogut. Join us next week on NBA Australia for some more Andrew Bogut slams from Twitter snowflakes from Twitter.